Oh, I copied link, not copied text, you dingus.
This is the Player 4 Podcast. Join us each week as we talk about video games, entertainment, and pop culture, and bring in guests from the Rooster Teeth community. Player 4 has entered the game.
Welcome, everybody, to the Player 4 Podcast. Alex, a.k.a. Chaos Black 21.
Malachi, a.k.a. Suki Kiba.
And I'm Joseph, a.k.a. Jay Dinlap from that same show.
So, yes, I had to do the intro because poor little Tristan, he needs his rest, and we will give it to him.
It's unacceptable.
And to have another three-player podcast.
So, if there's still Tristan, what are we going to talk about today?
That's a good question, Malachi. Yeah.
What are the topics today?
Oh, you make me do it. I see how it is. Joseph is going to rant about stuff for some apparent reason.
Yes, I am.
We're going to talk about Borderlands 3 because its release date has been announced, I should say. EA, we're going to talk about EA, Star Wars, and LucasArts, and some stuff about BioWare and Anthem production problems. Well, rant away, Joseph.
All right, so bear with me. My internet's kind of is jumpy today, so just let me know if I'm cutting out, but I'm doing my best. I'm going to get close to the microphone. Turn me down if you need to, Malachi.
Okie dokie.
Go for a second, listeners. Joseph's got some issues, and he wants to work them out on the podcast. First issue, if you tell an employee you're going to observe them on the job, and then you observed the day before you told them the date you were going to be there, I know what you're doing, and it worked. I was very nervous the entire time I taught today.
Oh, no, Joseph.
Well, here's the thing, okay? The course that was being observed is it's the final semester of my four-semester music theory curriculum. By this point in the final semester, we're no longer having lecture. We've had our actual final exam already, which is exam 2 out of 3, and there's no third exam this semester. We start to go towards analysis. So you bring something, we work on it, and specifically right now we're working to prepare the students for an interview in front of the faculty, where they present a historical and theoretical analysis of a piece that they are performing to prove that they're a good musician, and then defend that analysis in front of the faculty. Mm-hmm. So I provide a service to my students that I help them analyze the music in class time. We're no longer doing lecture because there's nothing more to learn other than just application. So I was quite nervous today to be observed by my dean. And if he happens to get his hands on this episode, I don't mean it in a bad way or anything. I just mean it was an informal sort of class period, and I was doing my best to make it as good of a look as possible. And afterwards, he did say that he enjoyed the class period, so there's that. So that's minor, compared to the incoming rant that is this student issue that I've had.
Well, real quick, just so people have a good basis on things, what is your level of education you were teaching at the moment? I forgot, personally.
Undergraduate. It's students who have just started college.
Okay.
So I teach the first 2 years of the music curriculum outside of the history stuff, which is not my area. So you come in day one, I'm the face that you see. All right. And all the way into the end of the second year, I'm the face you see the most. Freshmen get me three courses a semester, and then sophomores get me for 2 courses a semester. So let's talk about this issue. And I kind of ranted to you guys in our Discord chat for a little bit about this, and I'm not going to say this in a way that would make the student identifiable unless you happen to be one of their classmates, I suppose, but I don't think my students listen to this. So here we go. So I have a student who was missing a lot of class, and this goes out to all the college students. Don't do this, regardless of the reason. They kept saying it was health issues, but my university has a policy. You have to attend 75% of the class meetings. By that point, you're already going to struggle to pass in the first place, so I'm fine with the policy. The policy then basically says that it's up to me to drop the student once they've gone over their allocated absences. And if I drop them, they get a withdrawal fail, which then counts against their transcript as if they had already finished the course and failed it. So I always extend the offer to the student. First off, hey, you're out of absences, don't miss again. And then if they do, which, you know, it happens, then I say, okay, drop it so that I don't have to. Because if I do, then it's automatically a withdrawal fail. If they do, I get an email saying, what is it? And I say, it's a withdrawal pass, which doesn't count towards the transcript anyway, because I teach the most difficult course in music. I would feel bad to stick this grade on their transcript if they changed their major. It'd be like, if I took calculus and decided I shouldn't be a math major, well, suddenly I've got a big honking F on my transcript that won't go away. So yeah, I'm providing a service for you. Yeah, it wouldn't be pretty if I took calculus anyway. If he wants to, you know, laughs in mechanical engineer. So I've got a student, they missed a lot in three different courses, and gradually they would reach their maximum in a course. I would tell them, and then miraculously they'd stop missing, which was an interesting coincidence, by the way. And it was one by one. The courses that they hadn't run out of absences in were the ones they were missing for health issues. And the ones that they were out of absences on, they would stop missing. Well, eventually the other shoe falls. And the way a former professor of mine put it was, eventually you'll have a legitimate reason to miss, and it's going to be too late because now you fail.
Yeah.
So I told this student, you have now run over your absences in music theory. You need to drop the course. It was a Friday. They said, okay, I'll drop it on Monday. The next Monday followed. I'm talking an entire week. And I say, you haven't dropped the course. You have till the end of today. Because I was busy last week and I forgot to really get on them about that. And I shouldn't have to. And no answer. By this point, in sight singing and ear training, they've also run out of absences. They just stopped attending. And in piano class, they skipped the midterm and attended one class period since then without talking to me about the midterm. I dropped them from all three courses on the same day because I'm not going to enable this anymore. You haven't. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the student for over a week. And then I finally got an email from the student after they received the email that was carbon copied to me saying, you've been dropped from these three courses. And they said, I thought I was only being removed from music theory. Why was I also removed from the other three courses? I had health issues. And what I want to say, and I didn't, is, well, let me scroll up to what I said to you guys. What I wanted to say was, why am I just now hearing from you? Why is it I email you on Monday after the week after you said you were going to drop and I don't hear anything? And now that I drop you, suddenly I'm hearing from you, like almost immediately. But what I did say was, I haven't seen you in over a week. You've run out of absences in every course. You've stopped attending and you haven't turned in any work. And university policy requires me to drop you. So don't do that. If you're going to go to college, go to college. If you don't want to go to college, it's a lot cheaper just not to enroll. And I really, really hope that I want the best for this student. I hope that they find what it is that they're passionate about. If that's not being in music, if that's they just had issues this semester and they're going to come back and hit it with full force next year, I want the best for them. But I want people to understand it's expensive to go to college and then decide not to go to college. And then that you should either enroll and go to class or don't enroll.
Well, another thing, too, is if it was honestly health issues, you think they would have gotten a hold of you as soon as they knew they were having a problem, say, hey, I'm having this problem. Is there anything I should do?
See, so you guys have an advantage over college students, the majority of college students, which is you're not a college student. So you actually know what someone would do, what they should do if they're paying thousands of dollars to get an education, which is communicate with professors and catch up on work that you've missed. But a lot of these students, they went straight from high school into college and they weren't prepared for it. And they didn't realize that the way that you go about college is that you're there to get a degree. And the way to do that is to pass your classes. And the way to do that is if you miss, you talk to your professor. So ultimately, it's not on me to just email you every time you miss and say, hey, hope you're having a good day. Here's what you missed. Here come the exams next week.
Well, that's,
I'll hand it to you on a silver platter.
That's right. That's what I feel the problem is a lot of the younger kids nowadays don't realize, at least some of the people that are even lacking, is just that you're an adult now. Everything is your responsibility. There is no someone reminding you, hey, you got to do this. As if you don't do it, it doesn't get done.
So I'm done ranting about that. The other thing was I tried to make potato bread to cheer myself up, and I screwed it up royally because I didn't use a recipe. So what was supposed to cheer me up
made it worse.
It distracted me and then made it worse. So I'm at a point where this is my therapy and I don't have to pay for it. And we're going to continue ranting now. But first, a respite from the ranting. I want to hear from Alex about Borderlands 3.
Woo! Borderlands 3 was announced. It was, they came out with the trailer. Gearbox Software is the Borderlands 3. And it was a pretty decent sized trailer. I think it was like 3.5 minutes or so, 4 minutes, and just showing off, you know, cutscenes in the game. Well, not really cutscenes, but like it didn't actually show gameplay. But it's supposed to come out September 13th of this year, and actually today, at least on Xbox. I don't know if this is the same on PlayStation. Also released Borderlands, the first Borderlands Game of the Year edition on Xbox One. So you can pick that up and play the original Borderlands to prepare for Borderlands 3. And actually, there's a little bit of controversy on the PC side because apparently they struck a deal with Epic, which is like Epic now has like their own PC game launcher, and like to kind of rival Steam's, even though apparently everything I've heard of Epic's launcher is that there's so much missing from it that people don't like it. Have exclusivity on the Epic launcher for 6 months, so Steam doesn't get it until next year.
Ooh. That's Whoa. Gross. Because Steam actually has the Borderlands franchise on there. Because I own it first on Steam.
Yeah, well, they won't have Borderlands 3 until next year, which I guess would be March month.
Ew, that's gross.
So I was kind of looking into that, and people were saying that Epic might have given them a better deal. Steam apparently takes a 30% cut from each game sold. It supposedly only takes 12%. Calculating that's one of the reasons why. Well,
Steam can do that because they're a big name. You're helping sell your game because, you know, people are like, oh, well, Steam has it.
Yeah, and it's going to be like known more because pretty much everybody who plays PC uses Steam, which I guess that's why Epic, people have been saying that Epic has been taking a few exclusives like on release dates, and I think that's probably so that they can try to get their name out there more.
Yeah, boost their subscription, right?
Yeah, but it sounds like they need to fix their launcher a lot more too. So that's the Borderlands news. I'm excited because I love Borderlands. Borderlands 2 is probably one of my favorite games.
I actually never played Borderlands 2, so I really can't say anything about that. But I agree, Borderlands was a great, great story and a lot of fun stuff.
It has Handsome Jack is one of my favorite game characters. So I'm excited. He's not going to be in Borderlands 3. But he was in Borderlands 2 and Borderlands the pre-sequel. So I got plenty of Handsome Jack adventure in the world of Pandora.
I guess that means we move on now to Star Wars.
Yes. Why don't we go from one gaming universe to another gaming universe / just cinematic universe and all that.
Well, Malachi, what's the news concerning Disney, Star Wars, EA, LucasArts, all of that?
I don't know. That's your shtick, I think.
Well, it's in the chat for you to read, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love how Joseph writes this down, thinking Malachi's going to read it.
I know, right? Disney has taken the rights to Star Wars video games away from EA. Yay!
Yay!
And they are bringing back LucasArts to continue making Star Wars games.
So, but, Joseph, is this in basically from backlash of the
Battlefront game?
The Star Wars Battlefront games?
I have no idea. I just know EA sucks.
Well, I know for sure. I don't think the first Battlefront that EA made went over very well, but it didn't. It was still okay. But then this second one, people just trashed the hell out of it.
Well, I'm really hoping this means that we're going to continue development on Star Wars 1313. Some of you out there may remember, right before Disney bought Star Wars 1313 was a bounty hunter game with a smooth transition between cutscenes and action and gameplay, and it was set in Coruscant in layer 1313. People were very excited for it. Then Disney bought Star Wars. That kind of dates this story quite a bit. And then LucasArts just sort of got scrapped because EA got the exclusive rights to Star Wars video games. Well, hopefully that gets undone here. Maybe 1313 comes back together, or maybe it's kind of like Joss Whedon and Firefly, where they're just done.
Well, you had the problem though, then, because you said that even yourself, that you're dating this. It's been a while since anything supposedly has happened with Star Wars 1313, and as far as we know, they just stopped doing anything with it because of the whole getting rid of LucasArts. So at this point, if you bring it back, the advances in technology, you're gonna have to like do the graphic stuff that you did. You're gonna have to bring in new like game engine and all that if you want it to look up to date as what it needs to be.
Yeah, it depends on who had their hands on what, and people have to relearn what people have already done to it to tweak it. I was wondering, so when you're saying when Disney bought Star Wars rights and then took it away from EA, so LucasArts is still around, though, even though they didn't have the rights to Star Wars, right? Or
I don't know specifically about that. I just know it's, I was about to make a Central Texas reference that no one would get, but it was probably the lifeblood of the company at the very least.
Okay.
And for any Texans out there, it's when Dublin lost Dublin Dr. Pepper. So, I mean, the bottling company still makes soda. It's just not as much of a phenomenon as sugarcane Dublin Dr. Pepper was. But Alex makes a good point. I wrote a rebuttal for you, Malachi.
Buts.
Now, Alex, you make good points, and maybe what we'll get from this is maybe they'll make a Star Wars game with that sort of idea of seamless gameplay between time to push buttons versus time to watch a pretty movie.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, if they were doing it back then, before Disney took it over, how it should be even easier to accomplish that with what the technology that we have.
Mal, before we move on, do we have anything from the chat?
No.
Okay. Nothing other than the weird faces I make all the time.
Yep.
So we move on now to continue ranting about how much EA sucks. Are you ready for this? Roller coaster ride that is BioWare and Anthem. Because I've been reading about this on Twitter for a while, and it's been an interesting ride. So basically, BioWare was an awesome game company once upon a time. They made Mass Effect.
Once upon a time, like essentially before people knew about the ending of Mass Effect 3. So basically from Mass Effect 1, and even before that, whatever games they made that before that, but they really got big with Mass Effect 1 and then to like get through Mass Effect 3.
I mean, that's not even the worst of it, Alex. That's not even the worst of it. So they made their pièce de résistance, which was Mass Effect 2 and some of the Dragon Age games. And then EA acquired them. It's exciting news. You know, we're going to get bigger. It's going to be a higher budget, and we're going to make better stuff. Now, when Rooster Teeth was acquired, that happened. But when BioWare was acquired, then they were required to do more with less, resulting in the travesty that was Mass Effect Andromeda. There's an entire long YouTube video on this particular aspect of the history of BioWare, in which basically they had two studios that were competing for resources and stealing ideas from each other. One was making Dragon Age Inquisition, I believe. And the other one was
a good game.
It was okay. It had problems, but it was okay. And then the other studio was suddenly tasked with making Andromeda, but they spent about a year and a half to 2 years of making prototypes, but not actually a product. So there was a change in leadership, and the leader said, yo, we need to make a thing. So they made a thing. And it's a whole video I'm not going to steal the thunder from. We're going to link it in our YouTube link dump that totally exists and has happened all the time, right?
So is this the video from someone that, like, it was on the inside that knew about all this stuff? Or was this someone that has heard about the stuff?
It's a well-researched video from someone on the outside just piecing things together and telling it in a way that people just hadn't heard it. So we continue with the idea of BioWare really suffering from the leadership of EA, and they made an okay game, and then they made a flop. And then we covered this on the podcast, I think in our first or second year of existence, where the studio, I believe it was the studio that made Andromeda, got downsized and then moved to the main EA offices, to their main studio.
I remember they definitely got downsized, and it was basically once crap hit the fan in Andromeda, it's like, well, because they were planning on that to be like two or three games as well, but then after the crap that was Andromeda, everyone knew they weren't going to make any sequel to it, and so they just broke that up and moved everyone to the main.
Yeah, so we're down to that one studio for BioWare up in, I want to say Vancouver. I could be wrong.
That sounds right to me.
So moving on to the production of Anthem. Anthem, I don't know, made in the past, what, year or two?
Are we talking about BioWare headquarters?
I suppose we are.
I'm talking about BioWare specifically... says it's Edmonton.
Edmonton, okay. So that's the only thing that still exists of BioWare. Okay, gotcha. Well, Anthem being made by BioWare is the main story we're talking about now, which kind of a recent game. It actually released in late February of this year, so not long ago. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing something about it. I hadn't played it, but you've played it?
Yes, I've played it. I beat the story, and I kind of... like started grinding for gear. It's another shooter looter, except you fly around in mechs.
Yeah, so if you haven't, I'm sorry, I am on delay, right? So just so everyone knows, I don't try to interrupt, but sometimes it happens. But go ahead and finish your thought.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's a Destiny with mechs.
That's kind of what I saw as well. So looter shooter with mechs.
Sorry, you could say Destiny is Borderlands with.
Like, fair enough. We gotta go back.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so the production of Anthem. If you've been sort of behind on your social media-ing or Twitter or articles, then you're not aware of this. But basically, the Anthem production was plagued with overworked people going on leave for months at a time because they had emotional and mental breakdowns. That's how bad things were. And we just got done talking about how bad it was when they were working on Andromeda. And that was just crazy hours. But we're talking actual emotional and mental breakdowns from people on the BioWare team where they would leave for months at a time on sabbatical and they wouldn't always come back. That's what led to Anthem's release. And it's unsure whether BioWare is going to recover from that. But that actually led to a dialogue on Twitter about toxic workplaces and how to spot them and how to deal with them. And it's actually been an interesting byproduct of this discussion to see the dialogue is shifting towards, well, what is a toxic workplace? What does it look like and how do you deal with it? Because it can cause trauma that lasts for years, even if you haven't worked there in a long time. I actually still deal with trauma from a toxic workplace, and it causes anxiety concerning authority figures in jobs, as manifested by being nervous during a non-lecture. Just a constant anxiety about job security. So I can only imagine what this was like working, I don't know, 60-hour weeks or something like that. So there's a rant about EA ruining something that we love. Any additional thoughts from chat or Tristan or Malachi? Wait, sorry, Alex?
I mean, kind of discussion. I don't know if it fell along those lines, but it was another discussion of like, call the people who made like the plans and like the Walking Dead. It's like that company went under, and so there's been a lot of discussion like that as well. So I think it's, I don't know, it seems to be kind of like around this time now people are opening their eyes a bit more to what actually happens in like game development and kind of the toll that it takes on the people who work in that industry. That's my thoughts.
Very good point, Alex, that we are becoming a lot more aware of where our games are coming from, sort of workplaces and what it's like to work in those places. I remember it was about a year or two ago, the dialogue that started about what it was like to be a woman in the industry. And that didn't really cover the full picture of just how bad it's been in video game production. It's probably just the same sort of thing as special effects and movies suffering over the past 20 years. It's improving because the technology is, but it still suffers because the movies tend to hire whoever it is that's the lowest bidder, and it becomes a competitive and toxic workplace as a result.
Yeah, I think it's also with video games, it's the fact that there's always a push that, oh, we need to get this out as soon as possible to like miss our window. And so then you get all these games that, and then it's like they get put out so quickly from when they are announced. And it's like they need to start taking longer. They need to couple of years, not just like, all right, here's an announcement. Guess what? In 6 months, it's released.
Well, that leads us to sort of thing like the Halo 2 fiasco concerning when they made a playable demo for EA3 that wasn't actually from the game because it was not an engine that they could support an entire game with. So it's this constant pressure to have something, anything to show instead of taking your time. I mean, let's face it, Lord of the Rings pre-production was somewhere between 2 to 3 years. That's before they even started filming. And video games, everything's CGI. There's no physical people on the screen. Go ahead, Malachi.
Oh, no, it's just the way things are. Everyone's always trying to shave off a little bit of the cost on things so that the owners or the bigwigs can put more money in their pockets. But it is. It shouldn't All right. be that way, and we got to do something about it, but it's the way it is at the moment.
That is the way it is, and hopefully this dialogue causes change to occur. Typically, that only happens when people demand it, and you can only demand it with the way that you proceed.
Well, it's also, yeah, it takes steps from the people that work there, too, because for me, working in maintenance, our property got bought by a new company 3 years ago, and the new company's like, well, can't you get that locally? And I'm like, no, I can't get it within 100 miles. You need to get it from this place, and I need it, and it's going to be gone. And they're like, okay.
You wouldn't walk 10,000 miles to get it?
No. Not with as much as they pay me.
Well, the problem with walking 10,000 miles to get it is then you have to walk 10,000 miles back.
Yep. But, yeah, it's just all these big companies are always trying to put more money in the owner's pocket.
Well, that's a profits. Great note to get on.
Yeah. Anyways, well, we hope everyone enjoyed listening to us, and you hope you have a wonderful night.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Hashtag goodbye.
Goodbye.
Malachi didn't skip a beat on that.
Boom.
Yeah, he knew instantly. He's like, I got to do the hashtag.
If he doesn't, Alex is just going to sit there fuming.
I was going to wait and see if he remembered or someone remembered. And I would be really ticked if we're like, all right, stream done, and we'd stop the stream, and I wouldn't have gotten to say it.
Well, speaking of rants, I've got to leave for a late night rehearsal. Fun!
Yay!
Yay! Yay.